Morning, Greg. The prices here are abysmal. We're just back from a long weekend in London. Hotel, two West End shows, food, all really reasonable. We cannot afford to holiday here at home. We were in Wembley for, what were we over there for? Summer. That's why it feels so long ago. The London Vintage and the hotels in Wembley. Now, in the shadow of Wembley Stadium, and I don't mean that it's some sort of advertisement pitch, quite literally in the shadow of Wembley Stadium. And for a Sunday night, it was £76 for a hotel room there. And that was right, as I say, under the arches. Would have been much more expensive, of course, if something was on. But anyway, the PSA changes will result in around €46 per year deduction from your wages. Oh, okay. Right, Joe joins us now. Hi, Joe. We're talking about housing refugees a little earlier on. You'd be keen to do so.
That's right, Greg, yeah.
And what's been your experience?
Just a brick wall. Yeah. We were previously in an emergency accommodation centre for the Irish government. So, to me, when I applied for the Ukrainian refugees, I thought there'd be no straight away I would have them. But basically, they turned around and just red tape. Can you prove it's got a fire certificate? Can you prove it? Yes, there's the fire certificate. Can you prove it was trading as a commercial before 1992? Which basically is nearly impossible to do because there's no records. They literally didn't start keeping records with Donegal Council until on the computer since 2006. You know what I mean? So, no matter what you, everything I supply or I try to do, I've got a letter of confirmation that it was a petrol station, it was a shop before in the 70s. No.
And do you believe it is red tape, or do you believe maybe the whole refugee housing process is a bit of a closed shop, if you know what I mean?
I was the second part, Greg. I would turn around and say, if you were you put it out there to your listeners and say, how many people have actually applied and offered their homes or offered houses and commercials for Ukrainian refugees and me is stuck in limbo for over a year?
Well, I can tell you one example, because I was in contact with someone in the first round of where they were looking for people to house refugees. They had an empty house, never got a call back from the council. Then you might remember there was this announcement made whereby councils were going to be staffed and funded and everyone would be get a call back within 2 weeks. Nothing. Never had anyone from the council out, never had any offer of refugees, nothing ever. And yet, you know, since then, another 3,000 have come in and they're going into all different types of premises, be it hotels or whatever it might be. So it seems that really it's more of a case of maybe you have to know the system.
It's not what you know, so you know.
So you're saying between you and a friend, you could accommodate 40 people in total and you can't even get any progress in. And as you say, quite rightly, there's no guarantee people won't be in tents. That's what the government says. But you've got accommodation for 40 people and you can't get anyone into it.
That's right. That's correct.
Can I ask a general region that you're in, like north, south, east or west or wherever, as specific as you're comfortable in being, Joe, just so we get a sense of the situation?
We're up in Port Salon.
Right up in Port Salon direction, okay. Right. And who are you dealing with? Is it the local authority? Is it a central agency?
Department of Youth and Children, you know, the DEYC, whatever it is.
Right, okay. All right, well, we'll chase that up. Joe, the line's breaking up on us as you move, I think, so I'll leave it there. But listen, thanks very much for your contribution there. 40 spaces. Now, it is quite possible that we aren't taking many more in, that we're moving them around within the county. I don't know what the situation is. A caller says there's been no water in Urs Clonmany since Monday. She has a small child in the house and a farm to run. There's no updates in Irish Water and the council don't know anything about it. I'll check into that for you, see if I can get anything for you. My name is Dennis. I was sitting in a flat in Glasgow when an emergency alert went out to say that JFK had been shot in Dallas. That was in 1963. Really? Okay, it went out like breaking news. Do you remember there used to be breaking news? We cut across regular programming to bring you this breaking news story. That's from Dennis. He was in a flat in Glasgow when the alert went out in 1963. Great story, Dennis. Thanks for listening. No, Greg, that's not what I was referring to. The people I was referring to were spouses and family of people who have stickers, not people that have problems that aren't that easily noticed. I see it daily in my own town of Bunkran. I get you. And listen, thanks for the clarification. I hope you understand that sometimes I just try and tease the comments out and not contradict them. But you're talking exactly as we heard from James. You know that it's fellow household members that are using the permit. So glad you clarified that with me. Thanks for listening and thanks for texting back in. Disabled parking and what is the situation about people from Northern Ireland parking in disabled parking spaces in the south? When I go to Northern Ireland, I can't park in their disabled spaces as I'm deemed to be from a foreign country, even though I have a Southern Disabled Parking Pass. Can they park in disabled spots here? Interesting question. Never even thought of the complication of someone from the Republic going shopping in Derry or Strabane or wherever it might be and vice versa. So this listener is saying the parking badge from the Republic is not recognised in the north. Is that the situation in return? I don't know. Someone out there will, though, because we have amazing listeners and they always answer the call to answer a question. 086 60 25,000. 086 60 25,000. Right, if you have Crohn's or colitis, and many, many people do, and sometimes I do feel, because of the amount of people I know affected by this, that we have a greater proportion here in the northwest, but that's not backed up by any figures. But we are going to be talking about an event for people impacted by Crohn's disease. Maybe you have got a recent diagnosis and you're looking for more information. It's not just that, and it is a broad church as well. We're going to be talking about that as part of Wellness Wednesday. Stay right there. We'll be back after this quick break. Okay, it's on to Wellness Wednesday. Today, we're talking to Amy Kelly, Head of Communication with Crohn's and Colitis Ireland, who are holding a patient day in Letterkenny for people living with and impacted by Crohn's disease, ulcerated colitis and microscopic colitis. It's in the Radisson Hotel, the Radisson Blue Hotel on Saturday, this coming Saturday, November the 25th. Amy, Machin Wai, good morning to you. How are you keeping?
I am keeping very well. How are you today? Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you on the programme. So, do we need to, or should we explain really what we're talking about here and the various conditions? Because it is there's a broad amount of conditions that's kind of fall under the one umbrella, don't they, Amy?
Exactly, yeah. So if you could imagine, the umbrella term would be inflammatory bowel disease. And then underneath that, you have variations of inflammatory bowel disease. So Crohn's disease being one, and that would affect any part of your digestive tract. So you could have inflammation from your mouth all the way through to your anus. With ulcerative colitis, it's more localized in the colon. And then with microscopic colitis, the reason that has its name is because it's only detectable by a microscope. So there's a variation, and then some people might have undetermined IBD, so undetermined inflammatory bowel disease, because they can't pick up on the tests if it's Crohn's or colitis at that time. So yeah, there's over 40,000 people in Ireland living with this condition. Myself included, I have Crohn's disease myself, and it can be very, very debilitating for an awful lot of people.
Because it can affect people in different ways too, and I would say there's many more cases beyond the 40,000 you talk of that are either undiagnosed or yet to be undiagnosed.
There's a lot of work being done in the area. Even in children, we've seen over a 90% increase in children being diagnosed with IBD in Ireland as of late. So it's absolutely on the rise. I think even in my own perspective, the fact that I'm so open about it and work in the organisation, I have a lot of people who would get in touch with me about their recent diagnosis or something being investigated. We ran a campaign earlier in the year called the Poo to Boo campaign, and it was encouraging the public to identify the symptoms of IBD, because some people might not understand the full extent of the symptoms. Some people that may have heard of Crohn's or colitis may just think it's diarrhea, run to the toilet and that's it. But it's such a bigger illness than just that one symptom. There's so many other things that could be going on. For example, that's not a symptom I have. I would have mouth ulcers, pain, abdominal pain, fatigue, and the list goes on. So I kind of brushed Crohn's away to the side. And from the campaign that we ran, we had a symptom checker that anybody can still do on our website. But from that, over 13,000 people completed that. And about 90% of them were told to speak to their GP based on the symptoms that they were experiencing, because it could be a sign of Crohn's or colitis. So,
and do you think a lot of people self-medicate, you know, that they go, oh, I've just got a dodgy digestive system, and either, you know, take tablets to tighten bowel movements or loosen them or whatever they be, and just live in this sort of perpetual cycle without really, you know, the proper advice and support that they probably should have?
Yeah, again, myself included, I think a lot of us can attest to that. And I suppose it can typically take about 2 years to get a diagnosis of Crohn's or colitis, which is way too long. And people do push on pain. And the thing about it is, sometimes we can go get things checked out. And I suppose where it is in our body, it can overlap with a lot of things. It can, in fairness, be put down to other conditions as well. Like even IBS is a prime one that people might get a diagnosis of first. And I suppose then you kind of can start thinking it's all in your head. You can kind of start putting it down to other things like, oh, I'm stressed, or, oh, it's because I ate such a thing. And it's important that if you are experiencing, you know, things like blood in the stool, running to the toilet frequent times a day, or that you do get an investigation with things like colonoscopies, endoscopy and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think we're getting better at talking about it too, aren't we? It's not, I mean, you didn't even say the P word. You actually said the word poo, Amy. No, but do you know, I think we've made great inroads in certain things that we can get past the taboos and inverted commas and actually talk about, because it's a bodily function. We're animals here and we have to talk about these things and get treatment where and when it's appropriate. And in terms of managing it, now there's a scale as well, of course, like a lot of conditions. But, you know, if you get the right advice, presumably on the right interventions, the right treatment, maybe dietary changes that you could make, you know, what might seem very difficult now might be more manageable with the right care and attention, Amy, if that's all right for me to say.
100%, absolutely. We always say, like, look, it can be an extremely debilitating condition, as I said, but it can be managed when you work with your IBD team. So around the country, we have IBD teams in hospitals, which would consist of an IBD nurse, gastroenterologist, you know, your multidisciplinary team, and you have direct access with that particular IBD nurse. Usually people have email addresses or phone numbers that they can be in constant contact with if they're experiencing symptoms, because once it's under control and once it's managed, you can live well. So you can be in a flare, which is obviously when you have active inflammation present, and then you're trying to get yourself into remission. So that's when there's no inflammation present. And during that time, you can live very well. I always try to say that, you know, no matter your condition, you can do everything you want to do in life. And even like I've been going through a flare myself in the past year, but in the past year, I have got married, I've moved house, and I've climbed Kilimanjaro in the middle of it all, which sounds a bit extreme, I understand, but there goes I had set myself.
It makes me seem very boring and lazy. And I think it's
I'm going to get very boring after this, Greg. Don't worry.
I think it's really important too that you kind of timelined what a flare is, because I think maybe if you'd have asked 100 people listening, they'd have think, well, it's a day, 2 days, 3 days, but you're talking about, you know, a flare is, you know, a chunk of your life here.
It can vary from
of course
person
yeah
as well.
But it's not just a flare. In my head would have been, oh, I've had a bad weekend, you know.
It's not a 24-hour book, that's for
sure. I get you. And I think it's also important to not to ignore it, because obviously there's the general quality of life. You shouldn't have to endure it if you can get treatment or support that would, but also too then the long-term damage it might do to you as well, and what the ramifications or complications could be further down the line. Again, not for everyone, but Amy, it's not just a case of living and bearing it for everyone. You have to make sure that you don't leave yourself with something more serious to deal with a little further down the line.
At 100%, because if you're experiencing this pain, chances are it's not going to go away by itself, particularly if it's Crohn's or colitis. It's going to be there. And unfortunately, if it goes untreated, it's going to get worse. In my case, I pushed on for a couple of weeks at that time of my diagnosis. I got things checked out and I was, you know, pushing it down to things, but I ended up having to go to A&E, and that happens with a lot of people with Crohn's or colitis. And what I actually presented with was a perforation in my small intestine. So I had a burst hole in my small intestine. I was really sick, but to be honest, looking at me, I look no different than what I look like today, sitting here on the call to you. It was all happening internally. So it's really important, you know, if you're experiencing any type of pain, gut related, don't just put it down to things like IBS or other conditions or my stress levels. Do make sure you get them checked out. It may be those things, and it may be able to be rectified with over-the-counter medication, or maybe, you know, reducing that stress level. But do make sure you do push on. But I will say the one thing about IBS is If you are experiencing things like blood in your stool, that is not a sign of IBS. It is so incredibly important to get that checked out. Mm. That is a sign that there's something going wrong internally and you need to get it checked out before things progress.
Yeah, and particularly through your stool, because, you know, some people might see some spotting on tissue or what have you. And again, sorry to upset anyone, but we're going to talk about this kind of stuff, particularly if it's through it as well, because that's an indication that something's happened a little bit further up. Not to discount any other signs of blood, but just don't try and put it down to something. Right, so we're speaking in the context of this event in the Radisson Blu Hotel on Saturday, the 25th of November. Cathy Walsh is an advanced nurse practitioner in IBD. Louise McDermott is a community dietitian, another important element of this. And Dr. Vikrant Parahar is a consultant gastroenterologist. So you've got a good team there.
We do. We have a great team. Really looking forward to the day. So it's really important that we bring our medical experts into the room in an informal setting to, you know, answer questions and provide information. And then from those conversations, then we also have a thing called our IBD bingo, which is essentially a networking lunch. And that's about an hour or so where you just get to sit and meet other people with IBD. Like, there's an awful lot of us out there living with Crohn's and colitis who've never had the opportunity to have a conversation with somebody else living with the condition. And it's so valuable to have that opportunity just to speak with each other. And, you know, I still remember the first time I spoke with someone with IBD, and the two of us were like, "You have this too? Oh my God, me too." And, you know, it was just really nice to kind of know that you weren't alone going through a lot of the things you were experiencing. And it's not just for the person living with IBD, it's also for friends and family to come along as well to learn some information, but, you know, also meet people with IBD and meet other friends and family, because without our support network, we'd be lost. And I think it's really important to give those amazing people in our lives a space as well, and they're also welcome to come along. So and then at the end of the day, we go into a panel discussion with some of the members you mentioned there, and a patient as well. So kind of a very diverse day of information, opportunity to chat, and just a great day. We've done them around the country so far, in Dublin, Cork and Galway, and the feedback has been fantastic. And it's one of my favorite days in the year, and getting to do these activities and just going out and meeting everybody.
Yeah, because you know, not that you're there to people watch, but you will see moments where other people have that moment you had when you got to speak to someone for a first time, and how that affected you. Just finally, what are our pathways like now for people coming forward, and you know, in terms of a doctor going, right, okay, actually this could be that, let's do this, you know, let's get you checked. I think they're pretty good at the moment, aren't they? You know, I mean, obviously there could be delays and what have you and stuff like that happens, but, you know, we're pretty good at sort of, from someone presenting to sort of getting a treatment diagnosis. It's drawn out, but we get there.
We do get there, absolutely. And I think, you know, we as a patient have to take kind of, I suppose, accountability for ourselves as well, that, you know, whenever we're experiencing symptoms and we're getting the things checked out, you know, we need to make sure that we're acting on that. And, you know, if we're kind of maybe speaking with the GP and we kind of go away for a while and we're not seeing improvement, it's
self-advocate,
go back and speak.
Trust your gut. Exactly. And I know it kind of sounds like
it really is trust your gut. Yeah. Really, really is. And the GPs are doing a fantastic job, and it's something that we want to work with on our Poo to Boo campaign about, providing further information and maybe getting IBD a little bit higher up on the list of the vast majority of things that I suppose they have to check off. But, you know, I think to make things a little bit easier, even, you know, without going into too much detail, we've even identified that, you know, blood tests and tests that can be done at a local level could really, really impact the ability to diagnose patients. And we don't have access to that for some conditions. You know, so there's a lot of work that we can do to even improve that a little bit more. And, you know, introducing things like calprotectin, which is a stool sample testing in the GP service for patients. So there's a lot of work in that area that we do want to improve on.
But if we do that, we take pressure off our acute hospitals.
Exactly.
So there's a million reasons why we should. And you mentioned an important thing as part of the day, this talk about new treatments of that, because it's quite possible there's people who've had it for a very long time and there's a status quo there, and who's to say. Right. Okay. So it's only 4 hours of commitment, and that'll fly by with the great speakers and the various events that are on. It's between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. You can go to the CCI's website, crohnscolitis.ie, or call 01 531 2983. We'll retain those details here and put them on our socials as well, which, you know, I don't expect people to be able to take them down straight off the back of me mentioning them there. But Cathy Walsh, Louise McDermott and Dr. Vikrant Parihar will be there, all experts in the field, and I think somebody really informative. Okay, listen, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I'm delighted that you've had such a successful year with everything that's going on, and continued with the same. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you so much, Greg. Thanks.
Bye-bye, bye-bye. That's Amy Kelly, Head of Communication with Crohn's and Colitis Ireland. Had colitis 29 years to be told it's Crohn's disease because multiple abscesses have started. All right, okay. 3 decades with a false diagnosis, that sounds like. Radio, Wednesday morning, it's time to preview the Highland Radio Business Matters podcast. And we're in the company of presenter of said podcast, Chris Ashmore. Hi, Chris. Good to have you in.
Hello, Greg.
Right, okay. Now, before we talk about the podcast itself, let's catch up on some news. Bye Donegal officially launched this week.
Yes, the Bye Donegal campaign has been launched. The Cathaoirleach of the Council, Martin Harley, launched it in the Mount Errigal Hotel earlier this week. And essentially, this is a platform for businesses to get their message out there and to generate additional trade. The website showcases everything from traditional crafts to innovative products and services. And it's all under this one umbrella, Bye Donegal. So it's a great way of going in. And you have, I think, in the region of 300 businesses there. And since it was set up, the figure's quite startling. When you, I suppose it shows the power of social media and the internet, they have reached people in more than 70 countries and a huge global audience running into millions.
Yeah, indeed. And we were talking earlier on about Shop Green or Black Green Friday instead of Black Friday. It's a crossover there. You know, Bye Donegal, Green Friday. Get your Christmas gifts locally, yep, as
absolutely.
Well. We're also in Killybegs. We're back in Killybegs with some news of development works down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, plans for a major extension to the North Quay in Killybegs have been finalised, with the application being lodged with Donegal County Council. The Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine is proposing to extend the North Quay at the Shore Road by 59 metres. So that's quite a big extension. It'll enable additional berthing facilities. There'll also be dredging work. Now, it still has to go through various steps in the planning process, but, you know, it's moving and that's good to see. So we'll hear more about that in the future. You mentioned Black Friday.
One day from America. Now look where we're at.
Exactly. So it goes back, people say it goes back to Philadelphia in the 50s. And the story there was after Thanksgiving, there was a lot of shoppers and tourists flooded into the city in advance of what was a big Army-Navy football game that was held on Saturday every year. The cops were off that day. They had to, they weren't able to take a day off. They had to work extra long shifts. It was huge crowds. And shoplifters took advantage of the situation. There was bedlam in stores, some of them making off with merchandise. And that huge crowd and all these shoppers, that's where it all stemmed from. And now we have Black Friday and, as you mentioned,
it's
Green Friday.
It's a month now, really, effectively.
And it
Black
goes
Friday
on
is a month. But we spend a lot of money.
Yes,
like it is
a lot of money. I've seen reports saying we could be spending in this country 30,000 euro a minute on Friday. Now, there's always been this thing, you know, are we being taken advantage on there? And the Which magazine in the UK did a big survey and an investigation into deals. And here at home, the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission, well, it is urging customers, consumers to be cautious and to know your rights. Essentially, by law, when a business makes price reductions and announcements, it must display the lowest price a product was on sale for in the previous 30 days and base the discount on this price alone. That said, you know, how many people are going to go out and really
and
check back?
They can't use recommended retail price either. But I think really what it's done, look, it's to bring the January sales, I'm not sure, it's to bring that market forward pre-Christmas to some extent as well.
Yeah,
so
it's a big boost.
There are savings.
Yeah. Just also, just a note this week, Greg, I'm not sure, have you heard of HVO 100?
Give me more context.
It's a completely free, fossil-free biofuel. And just noting Circle K is rolling it out around the country, and there's going to be pumps installed at Donegal Oil.
What is it?
It's HVO100. It's a fossil free fuel, and it's made from waste. It's not intended for human consumption, obviously.
But what can you run on it?
Well, you can put it into your vehicles. You really? See, so this is going to all help us go further green again.
I thought now, it was across it's, all this stuff.
It's a little bit more expensive at the moment. Now, I actually saw a company in Cork has been very prominent in this. And they're saying that, you know, this is going to replace kerosene as our heating oil as well. So there's big hopes for this. Over time, the price is going to come down. And, you know, it's great that they're converting all sorts of waste product, essentially old food and oils and things. And you'll start seeing the trucks as well. They'll be delivering. And Circle K Express in Lifford, Donegal Oil here in the Port Road and Letterkenny there, amongst the first that are going to be
and
getting it.
And is it diesel replacement or petrol?
Yeah, it's an alternative diesel, and it offers, they claim, a 90% reduction in the carbon emissions over regular diesel. So right, one to watch.
Yeah,
one
indeed.
To watch.
That could be the future. So can we keep our cars after 2030 then?
You'll be on your electric bike.
I think that's all. I think that's all. I mean, the UK are already pushing out to 2035. Mm. I think if they come up with an alternative fuel such as that, who's to say if they might not change that? Right, so that's a bit of the news. Let's get back to the podcast. Hugh Bonner is on the show. Tell us a bit about Hugh.
Yes, he's the managing director of publishing and event management company Mara Media, which is based in Annagree. He comes from a strong fishing background. His family were involved. He fished off Burton Port, became a skipper himself. And back in 2005, he bought the already established publication, which was called The Skipper. Now, this was a monthly magazine. It was published up in Dublin. He took it over. He saw potential for growth. The magazine prospered. Then he got into expos and events. Initially related to very much to the fishing industry, and he's also brought out magazines, including the one for Donegal Airport. He does the Knock Airport magazine. Cork Airport is on its way, so lots of things there. And you know, he's always placed a great emphasis on quality, and if you're going to do something, do it well. And over the years, he's produced some merchandise, accessories to go with his business, and the Skipper name is well known in the fishing industry for the magazine. And he's produced these beanie hats, which he's handed out at expos and everything, and they have come up on TV in some strange places, and they've become a marketing tool. And he explained to me some of the places where he has seen them on television.
I'm going to play the clip, but did you chicken out from all your puns here?
I know you're hooked on this, but you can call me later.
Back after this short clip. Here's Hugh Bonner.
It's just one of those things that people take pride in and awareness, kind of like a become brand awareness over the years. I suppose, you see, we've always done Skipper beanies and given them away over the years, the exhibitions and whatnot. So I'd be watching the TV sometime and BBC News one night, and I think there were, I'd say the Icelandic government were in crisis and they were disbanding the government, and the guy giving the main interview, who was being interviewed, commenting on it, was wearing the Skipper beanie. I just laughed.
Did he get it at an expo over here? Or?
Yeah. Well, we'd have given away beanies. Like, we've gone to shows in Denmark and Norway and Aberdeen, and we're giving them out. And then there's quite a crossover in the fishing industry with people from Scandinavian countries, particularly Norway, who would come to our show, and vice versa, and Danish and all that. So he did. So he done the whole interview with that, and I thought that can't be topped, you know, because it's on the BBC. So lo and behold, a few months later, Boris Johnson was at the fish market in Peterhead, talking to, you know, one of the workers there, and he was wearing the Skipper beanie, you know. I suppose it's subtle branding when you're thinking it in a way, and you create your little brand, yeah.
All right, clearly a great business and a great character there. The full interview with Hugh Bonner is available to download at highlandradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts, providing it's Spotify or iTunes. It's broadcast on the radio too, of course, Chris.
Yes, Sunday evening after the 6 o'clock news. And if you'd like to get in touch with the program, you can drop me an email at businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Chris, thank you so very much indeed. That's live for you right now to listen at your leisure. And we appreciate your time, Chris, as always. We look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. Shall I mention just a couple of events that are coming up? to try and give them a little bit of support. A very inner show on Christmas takes place on Thursday, the 21st of December. It's at St. Mary's Hall, Bonkrana. It's at 7 p.m. Boogie Bugs from 3 to 6. That's not times. Boogie Bugs, they're for 3 to 6 year olds. Music Box Singers, they're for 6 to 14 year olds. And Guitar Academy for 6 to 15 year olds. So it's a very inner show on Christmas. It's right in the mouth of Christmas too, the 21st of December in St. Mary's Hall, Bonkrana. You can go to ticketsource.eu/the-music-box-school. Also, there's a pop-up community cafe taking place in Letterkenny Baptist Church on Friday, the 24th of November. That's the day after tomorrow. It's between 10 a.m. and 12 noon. It's a warm space with a warm welcome. There's going to be free tea and coffee and winter care packs. That's a pop-up community cafe on Friday, this coming Friday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon at Letterkenny Baptist Church. So get along to that. Right, okay. Donegal forgotten by government. Eamon Ryan, says this caller, is willing to provide this fast-track bypass. It's crazy what they do around their own areas. The closer to Dublin, the better. Minister Donnelly's only coming up here for publicity. It's crazy that it takes something so big for them to come to Donegal. If this big hospital wasn't built, he wouldn't be here. I heard this morning that 45 million is needed at least for Letterkenny University Hospital. The Kildare bypass will cost millions, but because they're in the golden circle of Dublin, it will get done. Well, look, at the end of the day, Minister Rabbit's come up to meet parents, concerned parents here, off the back of them rallying together and campaigning and demanding she come up. She's come up to speak to them tomorrow. We're going to speak to her on the show tomorrow as well. Stephen Donnelly, maybe it's taken a while, but thanks to the efforts of the GPs, the consultants and the general public, he's had to leave Dublin to come up and meet with them. Yes, he's turning a sod on a community hospital. We'll all benefit from that community hospital, but he's coming up to speak to them directly. And we'll get stuff on the record that, you know, we can challenge then down the line. We might not always like the answers we get, but if you get them on the record, then you can go back to them. And that applies to opposition as well as it does to those in government. So, yes, I get where you're coming from and I appreciate your contact, but we have two ministers on two really big topics on this show over the last 2 months. So we'll take that, have a chat to them, and they'll meet the actual important people who are those affected by the CDNT services and, of course, Letterkenny University Hospital. Greg made a good point about the health budget being so tight. Ask the minister the reason why there's no money. They've $2 billion over one site. When money's mismanaged like that, no wonder that they don't have the budget. Well, you see, we're told that the budget's... We can't be two things at the same time, really, can we? We can't be a prosperous country at full employment with fantastic future. We're relatively rich by international standards and have people dying because we don't have enough funding for our health service. Do you know what I mean? Like, how can those two things coalesce? I don't know. It confuses me. Again, questions I'll hope to put to the minister on Friday in a constructive and respectful way. Stephen McCrory is Senior Executive Engineer with the Greenways Project, and he joins us on the programme now. Stephen, good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
Not so bad. The Council, along with Transport Infrastructure Ireland, are inviting residents the residents in the Carn Donagh area, isn't it? It's the Carn Donagh Greenway Project. So inviting residents of the area, members of the public and other interested parties to participate in the second non-statutory public consultation for the Bonkrana to Carn Donagh Greenway project. So talk to me about, at this point, just to remind us, what are the plans there at present?
Yeah, well, the plan is, there's two plans, really. There's the big plan and the project plan. This project relates to Bonkrana to Carn Donagh Greenway, and we're looking to construct a greenway between the two main towns in the Inishowen region, which in turn will form part of the bigger project, which is the one that loops around the entire Inishowen Peninsula, which would be the Inishowen Greenway. But we've developed this project, the Bonkrana to Carn Donagh one, to a stage there where we've confirmed the feasibility of the scheme, and we have developed a number of route options. And really what we want to do is present those options to the public and let them have their say on them and let us know what they think and what they would like out of the scheme and which routes they think are best and how they, and if there's issues that might affect them, let us know about them, please.
And at this point, when you talk about preferred routes, have negotiations started with landowners, Stephen, or is that a next stage of the process?
No, that'll be the next stage of the process, and we're coming to the age we're working off the Transport Infrastructure Ireland Project Management Guidelines, mm-hmm. and it's a phased project. So we're coming out of phase one now. We had the first public consultation back in April, and we got some really useful information out of the public there, some great feedback on what they wanted the project to look at. So off the back of that, then we have looked at whether the scheme's feasible or not, whether we can construct a greenway between Carrandon and Muncrana, and the outcome of the report that we prepared shows that we can. Not only that there's 7 potential routes that we could take. And it's those routes that we're bringing forward to the public now to let them have their say on them. Mm-hmm. So we have a couple of routes there that swing out by Dunreet and come in maybe to Kilmany, Ballylithen, and they're into Carrandonagh. Well, there's other potential routes where you follow the old railway line up from Buncrana up towards Kilmany and Ballylithen and round again. Or we could maybe look at going off to the left there as we come to Dumfries and going at, taking a more direct route to Carrandonagh. So it's these options that were presented to the public at this stage. They'll be further refined as part of the process early next year, and we'll come back then with a preferred route corridor. Now, when I say these are routes, these are route corridors, and they're quite wide in nature. They're maybe 300 metres wide, so there's a lot of flexibility within the route corridors themselves.
But yeah,
they'll be further refined into a preferred route corridor.
Listen, and we've seen the attraction and success of greenways across the country, not just for local people where it's a safe place to go and walk or cycle, but also too, there's a big tourism market there that can be tapped into as well. The Innishowen Gateway Hotel, Railway Road, Buncrana. The consultation runs there from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. So it's a drop in. I don't think you expect anyone to land at 2 and leave at 8, except the staff, Stephen. That's on Wednesday, the 6th of December. And there's a second the next day in the Carrandonagh PSC. That's on Mallon Road, of course, in Carrandonagh, in the council chamber room there. That's on Thursday, the 7th of December, again from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. You know, it's really important, I think, that the public sort of, you know, take an interest and take ownership of these type of developments. There's a lot there up for grabs in terms of how they can influence this or have their say.
For sure, and this is the time to do it. If the public have a preference for a particular route, it would be great to hear it now so that we can take on board that feedback. You know, we will have a website there where feedback can be received after these dates. But, you know, by all means, come down, talk to the team. I'll be there, the consultants will be there, and we can talk you through the project and how it might affect you. And in terms of interested groups and that, what they would like to see, would they like to see a more direct route, or would they like one that meanders around the coastline and takes in the scenery and potentially Dunreeh?
Out of interest, what is the length difference between, you know, a more direct Buncrana to Carrandonagh compared to sort of the meandering, more maybe visual? Is there a big difference in length?
There is quite a difference. You know, it could be half as long again if we go a more meandering route around the coast. But then that brings in its own attractions in terms of sceneries. And as I say, there's that big construction project planned for Dunreeh. So there's a strong argument to go that way and connect in and deliver our visitors to that centre in a sustainable way. Or maybe we're looking at taking a more direct route to facilitate better commuters and that type of things, wanting to travel between Carrandonagh and Buncrana.
Yeah, and finally, Stephen, you're bound by a process. This is just part of that. You know, all going well, and I think I may have asked you or a colleague this before, all going well, when would we expect to see maybe work actually beginning on the ground in constructing such a greenway?
Yeah, generally that will depend on the statutory processes and on the route that's chosen. If the route that's chosen is fairly contentious and is going through, we would have a lot of environmentally sensitive habitats in the area. We would need to be careful in that. That will take it a little longer. But our plan is to get it up and moving, to get a preferred route corridor
in the middle of next year and then work on designing that and start chatting to landowners. Once we start chatting to landowners, there's a year in process before we can look for planning permission, and a year afterwards when we must, like the planning process itself will take a little while.
Yeah,
so okay. A year afterwards then. So you're probably looking a few years away, but we're delighted to see that the feasibility of the scheme has been confirmed and that we can push on now with selecting a route through the peninsula for it.
Okay, so two face-to-face, in-person, public consultation events, Buncrana, Inishowen Gateway Hotel from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m, drop in sometime between those hours on Wednesday the 6th of December, and also Carned on a PSC in the council chamber room there. It's on Mallon Road, Thursday the 7th of December between 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. as well, to drop in at some point that suits you. All right then, listen, Stephen, thanks for that. Stephen McCrory, Senior Executive Engineer with the Greenways Project. Okay, thanks to our friends at Kelly's across the road from us here. We have another 50 euro fuel voucher to use at a Circle K station. And Emerald is green. Do you know who knows that? I know. Brendan Shields in Fanad. Brendan, 50 euro of a fuel voucher in your back pocket. Thank you for that. We'll be in contact with you. Thanks to all of you entering our, and actually might play out with a reminder, our Silver Tassie competition. It's a brilliant prize being given away the day after tomorrow. So I might pop that in and just give you a reminder of that as we say goodbye to you. Trying to work out the times in my head here now so I don't leave John late. A caller says, I'm 73 and suffering from with colitis since an early age. With the gluten-free diet, I have a whole new life. Wheat is a big heartache. You'll notice a difference from cutting out wheat after just 2 days. Okay, that's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that you are finding a pathway to an improved life for you. Good advice passed on. Thank you very much indeed. Tell that man offering accommodation to contact Donegal County Council. There's a lady there dealing with this. That's what he's trying to do as well. Less said, sooner mended. Hi, Greg. My first experience of how useless our disabled parking card is in Northern Ireland. A few years ago, we parked in a disabled parking space in Strabane. While I was trying to get out of our van, the traffic warden was writing a ticket for me at the same time. That comes in for a man in Donegal Town. Anne, what a pain. Lovely to have you listening down in Donegal Town too, by the way, Anne. Re-driving passes for disabled spots. Depending on the time they were issued, they would display the EU logo on them for EU logo on them for universal usage. Not sure now how Brexit affects their ability to be used here. That's the British ones, or the UK, the Northern Irish ones in the Republic. Final mention for you before I go. We've got 3 weeks to go now until the Highland Radio Christmas concert. It's great to have it back, you know. Many of you have supported our concerts over the years. You know they're a great night out. This is one with a particular Christmas theme, as you can imagine. Package deals are sold out, but tickets are selling really fast, and there's still some available here at Highland Radio, at the Mount Errigal Hotel, and online at the outlet on highlandradio.com. €25 each. Loads of acts. You'll hear the ads. Further information, call us on 074-91-25000 or visit, as I said, highlandradio.com. Click into the outlet. But if you want to give us a call, 074-91-25000. John Bresson's coming up around the northwest after 12. But for me, Greg Hughes and Caroline Orr, who researched and produced the show, and Shannon working flat out as well, we'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 9.